And if you would just pray with me and for me, here's what I know. I could do the best job that could be done as far as speaking goes. But the fact of the matter is, it takes the Lord for any help to be obtained tonight. And so if you would, please pray that he'd help us. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening and I realize I'm nothing. Father, I realize that without you, I can do nothing. And I pray this evening that you would just touch me and give me clarity of thought and speech and help me as we look in your word. I pray, Father, you'd open the hearts of those here and you'd do what needs doing. I pray if there's anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, that you would move that out of the way and just allow him free course to work in our midst. Lord, we need you. Speak to that soul that might be nearest to you. And Father, I ask you to help that one that's discouraged or cast down. Father, I pray you'd do what needs doing, and we'll give you all the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, this morning I asked the young people, and I will read in just a minute, but we're going to be looking at Revelation 3, 14 through 22. But I asked the young people this, why is it important to know anything about the church at Laodicea? Why is that important? Now, we know this, that these seven churches represent seven church ages. Within each age, you will find these seven churches. But when we come to the church at Laodicea or any of the other churches, when it mentions that church, that is the characteristic of churches as a whole during that church age. Now, I hope you understand what I just said. That's characteristic of those churches. When we look at Laodicea, and that's the last church age, if we're in that church age, if we're in the last days, then we're in that church age, and the churches around us will be reflected as a whole, not all churches, but as a whole, the churches will be reflected by the characteristics of the Laodicean church age. Now, I asked the young people, why is that important? Why is it important? Well, let me say this. If, in fact, the majority of the churches are Laodicean in nature, then, and the churches are the people, then you go to work with Laodiceans. And you go to school with Laodiceans. And your neighbors are Laodicean. Would that be a fair statement? I mean, that's the characteristic of the church age we're living in. And we know this, that evil communications corrupt good manners. I believe that's 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. And so if we're around Laodiceans, there will be a tendency for us to be pulled down to the Laodicean character. Now, does that... And I know that's a lot of words, but are you following what I'm saying? We're in a Laodicean environment, and if evil communications corrupt good manners, you run with bad company, it's going to affect your behavior. I mean, it's just how it is. That's why mom and dads are concerned when they see their children maybe running with juvenile delinquents or children who get in trouble on a regular basis with the law or druggers. We use that phrase sometimes. That's why mom and dad gets concerned, because they know evil communications is going to affect their children. And here's where I'm thinking tonight, that living in the Laodicean church age, if we're not careful, we're going to be affected by the Laodicean mentality. And so I think we have this passage to help us and to challenge us to be what we ought to be. Now, really, I call it shotgun preach tonight. I don't really have much notes. I just want to share my heart with you this evening. The Bible says in verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." And then we're going to begin to look at some of the characteristics or the condition of the church at Laodicea. And I just want to say a few things about this. Many folks preach this as an apostate congregation, and I don't have any problems with that. But I want to remind you that the Lord is trying to help them. They're not past help. And if you read the book of 1 Corinthians, they had slipped a long ways. But the fact of the matter was, Paul was trying to help them. That's why he wrote the letter. He wanted to help them. And so I'm convinced, and you'll have those that know more than me that will disagree with you. I'm convinced he's writing to save people who have slipped spiritually. And he's trying to help them to get back. Let me just stop and say this. If you have slipped spiritually, the Lord wants to help you. You may have stumped your toe or whatever phrase you want to use, slipped and fallen and messed up. That's not the end for you. Let me back up and say it this way. That doesn't have to be the end for you. And the Lord wants to help those who are struggling. And you need to keep that in mind. Instead of us putting down folks who are struggling spiritually, we need to understand the Lord wants to help them. And that's where we are with this Laodicea. And I'm going to call it Laodicean. So you just, if that ain't the proper pronunciation, you just overlook me. And so here is this Laodicean church. The Lord wants to help them. And let me say again, if you're struggling, he wants to help you. And let me just stop and say this. We're all strugglers. I don't see anybody that sprouted angel wings and has a halo. You know, we're just all strugglers. We're all people, and we have struggles, and we have a flesh. And your flesh is as wicked as my flesh, and it's against God, and it hates the things of God, and it lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh. And that's just how it is. We're strugglers. And God wants to help us. And so that's where this church is to a degree. But I want you to notice a few things. Number one, they're still a church. It's still a church. He's writing to a church. Now, we use verse 20 and 21 evangelistically. I don't have any problems with that. But the fact of the matter is, he's writing to a church. And here's what he says about the church. I know thy works. Now, here's a church, and the Lord knows their works. Maybe I'm getting back. Maybe I'm regressing to what we preached on this morning, but the fact of the matter is, the Lord knows your works. The Lord knows your spiritual activity level. He knows if you're real. He knows if you're a put-on. He knows if you're come to church and you intend to worship, or if you come to church and you're just going through the motions. The Lord knows. You can fool me. I look around, everybody looks like church-going people and just what you ought to be. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord don't see you as I see you. The Lord sees you for what you really are. He knows what you are. He knows your works. And here they are. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Now, what would be cold works as I think about this text? I'm thinking about what really is that? What is cold works? And what is hot works? I think what the Lord is saying, the quality and the quantity of their words were indicative of casual Christianity. I think that's what he's saying, of a half-hearted Christian life. And so I'm saying that to say this, we live in the Laodicean church age, and if we're going to be like everybody else, if we're not careful, we're going to be half-hearted in our works. Can I just stop and say this, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. The Lord doesn't want us to be half-hearted servants. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm servants, just try to fit God into the schedule. That's not what he wants, but that's where the Laodicea was at. They were at this place in their life. And I think we need to stop and just evaluate and ask ourselves this, what kind of servant are we? Are we lukewarm? If God was to look at the works of the Ridgeview Baptist Church, would he say this, you all are lukewarm. I see thy works and you're lukewarm. I wonder if he would say that. I wonder if he'd say that about this preacher's life. And about your life. And here's the thing. It may be because we've been around Laodicean churches. No doubt we have fellowship and had joint meetings with Laodicean churches. That just happens sometimes. You think everything's what it ought to be, and fact of the matter, it's not. And you have to ask yourself, could it be maybe they have influenced us? We look at this, boy, that's a good church, and we see what they're doing, and we say this, well, we're doing what they're doing plus a little, so we're in good shape. And the fact of the matter is, if we're in a Laodicean church age and we're doing what they're doing or a little better, we're very good chance we could be lukewarm. And so I think we have to be on guard to this thing of lukewarmness. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 15 as we continue. I know thy works that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now here's something that does not seem to make sense. It would seem that the Lord would want his people doing a few works rather than doing no work. It would seem to me he would want his people being lukewarm rather than being cold. Would that not make sense to you in the flesh? It does to me. It just seems a little's better than none. But that's not the way the Lord this. I want you to notice what he said. I would thou wert cold or hot. I want you to be one extreme or the other. I want you to either be zealous, to be fervent in your works for me. I just want you to be cold. I don't want you to be in the middle. Why do you think that is? I think I shared this the other night with somebody, maybe with the church as a whole. Can I say a lukewarm state is deceptive? When you're doing a few works, you feel pretty good about yourself. Yeah, and here's what you say, well, I'm doing the work. The Laodiceans, most likely they were going to church on Sunday and putting a little money in the offering plate, or maybe a lot of money in the offering plate. And maybe there were things they did, but it was half-hearted. They were not fervent about the work of the Lord. And the Lord said, I wish you wouldn't even do what you're doing. I wish you'd just be cold towards working for me. And I think a cold Christian knows where they're at. But a lukewarm Christian many times is deceived. And because we live in a Laodicean, and we're going to read their deception here in just a little bit, because we live in a Laodicean age. If we're not careful, we'll become what they are, and we'll be lukewarm, and we'll feel good about who we are. And the fact of the matter, we feel good, but God doesn't feel good about it. We feel good because we're doing a few little things, but God knows it's half-hearted. Our heart's not in it. And so he's not pleased with it. Notice what he says. So then, verse 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now we know this, that's not talking about losing your salvation. We know salvation's not based on works. What it is talking about, as far as I'm concerned, what it's talking about is fellowship. Now let me tell you what I've been in this for a little while now. I've been in a lot of churches that were sound. It appeared on the outside were sound. They were sound in their theology. If you looked at their statement of faith, it was sound. But as you sat in that church, you realized it was dead. The Lord wasn't there. He and I know we bring the Lord. Don't run me in the ditch. But he did not manifest himself. You could not sense his presence. And I think many times that's because they are Laodicean church, and God has broken fellowship with the church. Now that's a strong statement to make, but I believe that's so. There's a lot of folks that believe right and to an extent do right, but I'm afraid because of their lukewarmness, the Lord has just spewed that body of believers out of his mouth and broken fellowship with them. Well, amen. I believe that's right. And I'm going to say some things, maybe it sounds a little harsh to you, but that's where they was. So the first thing the Lord was concerned about was the degree of their fervency in serving him. God cares about your attitude towards serving him. He cares. You may be serving him, but you may not be doing it with your heart. You may not be fervent. You may not be zealous. By the way, when we get saved, we're supposed to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Have a zeal to do good works. Good works is part of the Christian life. You look at all these churches, you know what he's looking at? Their works. You know why? Because the church is the institution God has to carry out his work. And so he's looking at their works. And so the first thing we see a people, the condition. I'm talking about the condition of the Laodicean church age. We see that their works, they're lukewarm in their service. And I think we all just stop and say, what kind of servant am I? Now, when you get saved, you get more than a Savior. You get a Lord. I said it this morning. He's the servant. He's the Lord and we're the servant, I should say. He's the ultimate servant if you really want to get down to it. But he's the Lord. That means he's in charge. He gives the orders, the commands, if we want to use Bible word. And we're to obey. And so here was a group of people obeying a little bit. Not cold, but not hot. And I think their works, their attitude, their works reflected their attitude. And so the Lord said, those are lukewarm works because you're lukewarm in your heart. But that's not all. And so we see there is a cost to pay for not being the servant we ought to be. I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Then he goes on in verse 17. And he says this, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now, here's the next thing I see about this Laodicean church. They were boastful. They were bragging about how well they had it. Here's what they said. Because thou sayest, they're so proud of where they're at. They're telling, they're speaking out about who they are as far as they can determine. They're boastful. And they say this, I'm rich and I'm increased with goods and I have need of nothing. Now that seems to say to me that they're materialistic. They are basing their spiritual condition on their physical blessings. No doubt they had big buildings. No doubt about it. No doubt they didn't lack for Sunday school rooms. No doubt they didn't have to worry about the parking like we do. I mean, they had it. They were rich. God was blessing them as far as they was concerned. They were measuring spirituality on materialism. That's a great mistake. We do that today. Big church down the road, this fella comes to me. They're in total error, doctrinally speaking. And a Baptist preacher come to me and he said this, they must be doing something right. Look how big it is and how many people they have. And I wanted to say, I guess the Catholic Church is too. I mean, look at some of the cults that's out there and they're flying away. And I'm not trying to throw off on this thing. I'm just trying to make the point. Because you are blessed physically doesn't indicate, is not an indicator of your spirituality. And so here they are, and they think that's so. They're bragging about, they're boastful about their situation. They say, we're rich and we're increased with goods and we have need of nothing. And then the Lord responds. He says that they, and you understand he's involved in this all the way. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. Then he tells us what he sees, how he sees them. And knowest not. Now here's the next thing I see about them. They were ignorant of who they really were. Ignorance accompanies the Laodicean church. I'm afraid we've got a lot of folks that feel good about themselves, but the Lord doesn't feel good about them. I'm afraid of that. They were ignorant of how God viewed them. And here's what he says, they know not. So they're boastful, they feel good about themselves, but they were ignorant. And here's what God said. Thou art, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable. That word wretched ties in with miserable. It's right along the same. It's in the first cousin to miserable. Thou art wretched and miserable. And I'd just like to stop and say this. We've never lived in a day that God's people have been so miserable. They don't enjoy their spirituality. It's a chore for them to go to church. I love to go to church. I hate it when I have to stay home, Brother Mutt. I love church. I love singing. I love preaching. I love Sunday school. Some people don't love Sunday school. But I love Sunday school. I love everything. I love dead services. I just like being at church. There's something about it I enjoy. There's joy about it. Amen. But a lot of God's people, you'd think they're the ones on their way to hell. And you'd think the sinner's the one on their way to heaven. Something wrong somewhere. There's something wrong somewhere. And here's this crowd, and one of their problems was they were miserable. And then it says they were poor. And I just stopped and thought about that. I guess we'd be considered poor people. I guess that'd be the case if you took a measuring stick. Some of you are doing pretty well, but as a rule, most of us just getting by. But really, this is a room full of billionaires. I mean, really, I've got a home and the streets are pure gold. That's how it is. I don't look it. When I go downtown, I don't get honored as being a billionaire. Nobody comes up and gives accolades to me. But the fact of the matter is, my Father owns it all. And I'm an heir and a joint heir of Christ. Man, you're looking at a billionaire. Pavement is gold. It's the material that the streets are paved with in my home is pure gold. Man, it'll take me a few years. Well, I hope it's a few years. Maybe a few minutes, but it'll be a while, or could be a while. I don't need to brag about that. It could be a little while before I inherit it, but it's coming. It's just coming. But here he says of these, and he's speaking, I think, of the judgment seat of Christ. He's saying they're poor. They're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ, and when their works are going to be evaluated, they're going to burn up. They're going to burn up. You see, when you do what you do to be seen, that's going to burn up. Works with the wrong motive are going to burn up. When you do what you do to get a pat on the back, there's no reward at the judgment seat. We are to do what we do for the glory of God, for His glory. And so they were poor. They were blind. They were blind. They couldn't see who they were. They couldn't see who they were. They could not get a picture of the situation they were in. They were naked. Now, we're talking spiritually. They were talking physically. God's talking spiritually. You have to separate the two. And so, and keep in mind, if we're not careful, being surrounded by Laodicean churches, we will be influenced by them and maybe start drifting in that direction. And I think the Lord's telling us who they are. So when we see that in our life, when we start thinking we have something to boast of, we better back up and take a double look. That's right. So we see the condition of the church. They were lukewarm in works. They were boastful. They were ignorant and unlearned about who they was. They were miserable and they were poor and they were blind and naked. And here's what you might say, a blind, naked believer, there's no hope for them. But God knew there was hope. Now, you can't continue as you are and things change. You can't do it. If you're going to just keep living the way you're living and never repent, and I'm getting ahead, never repent, never realize there's a problem, spiritually speaking, you're going nowhere. That's right. That's where the Laodiceans were at. Now, there was a remedy. There was help for them if they would do their part. And if you do your part, I promise you God will do His part. That's how it is. And so here's what he says. I'm going to give you some counsel in verse 18. and counsel. He's going to give them advice. He's going to advise them. Here's what you are. You're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I'm gonna help you. I'm going to tell you what you can do to improve your situation. Would you like to improve from where you're at, spiritually speaking? I would. I don't think I've arrived. I don't think our church has arrived. I don't think anybody in this room has arrived. I'd like to go on with God, wouldn't you? All right, here's what he tells. Let me back up and just say a few things about the Christ of the Laodicean church. Let me say a few things about the Lord. First of all, he knew their works. Second of all, he was not satisfied with their works. He was not pleased. They were doing a few things. It didn't please him. I think that ought to challenge us to say this. Lord, are you pleased with what I'm doing? I think we ought to ask that. Are you pleased? Let me just throw this at you. He desired them to be fanatical. He said, you be one extreme or the other. That's what he said. I want you to be hot or cold. Don't fall in this middle just banging around. Be fanatical. I mean, what the world calls a fanatic. Now, here's what you call it if you're fanatical about the world's activities. You're a fan. You're not a fanatic, you're a fan. But if you're a Christian and you're all about the work of the Lord, you're a fanatic. That carries the idea you're some kind of nut. That's exactly what it is. That's what God said he wants us to be. Hey, one extreme or the other. Don't be in the middle, be cold or hot. That's what he wants. And so our Lord desires us, I'm going to use the word fanatical, you could use extreme, in our spiritual labors. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:58 comes to my mind. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding means overflowing. When the rivers would overflow their banks in those days, they were abounding. It was just more than they could contain. That's what God wants out of us. That's what he wants out of us. He wants us to abound in works. And so we see he was not satisfied. And then we say this, he'll break fellowship if you don't abound. He'll break fellowship. If spewing them out of his mouth is broken fellowship. He'll break fellowship if you're not real and you're not doing what he wants you to do with your whole heart. But can I just say this? He loved them. And he wanted to help them. And he counsels them. He knows what they need. He knows what you need. Why are you preaching this tonight, preacher? I felt like it's what God wanted. Maybe you need it tonight. Maybe you say, boy, he's really preaching to so-and-so. I know I'm preaching to you tonight. It's for you. And then I might say he's long-suffering. We're going to see in a little bit. He was standing and knocking. He was knocking at the door of their heart. He's long-suffering. He wants to enter in and sup with you. And by that, I think we can say this. He wants fellowship with you. He wants a close, intimate relationship. I told the young people this morning, he wants you to tell him what your problems are. Cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. Young people, he wants you to talk to him. He wants you to communicate. He wants you to cast your troubles. A lot of adults will just laugh your concerns away, but the Lord won't. He cares. We've got a good Savior. So we see the condition of the church, and we see the Christ of the church. But let's look at his counsel. What did he want them to do? And what does he want you to do if you're not where you ought to be? Number one, he told them this, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about works as maybe three or four categories. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Six categories. Now, here's how I want you to think about buying of me gold. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, and that's what's going to happen at the judgment seat. That's good, godly works that he wants you to do. He wants you to engage in the works he speaks to you, personally speaks to you about, to get involved in. Here's what he's saying. Your works are not what they ought to be, but if you'll just start working. And I'd like to challenge us as a church. We may not have done like we've ought to in 2023. We might drop the ball. I don't know. Seem like it's just a blur. But the fact of the matter is, we can do better in 2024. Missy quotes it all the time. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He can help us to buy gold tried in the fire. And then he says, in white raiment thou mayest be clothed. I think that's holiness. I would say this about that church. It was a worldly church. It was a carnal church. It was a church that probably dabbled in sin. Excuse me. Here's what he said. Buy white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. It's shameful for God's people to live sinful lives. You bring a shame on the Lord. Amen. That's right. Now, here we are, and here's what we say. Well, we can do however we want to. Look how that church does, and look how this is how all God's people are doing. We might as well do that. You know what's happening? Laodicean churches are influencing us. Amen. We need to do what the Word of God teaches us to do. We need to dress like the Word of God tells us to dress. Talk like the Word of God tells us to talk. Walk like He tells us to walk. Do what He tells us to do. It doesn't matter what the others are doing. We need to line up with the Word of God. Amen. You know that's right. Is God's Word right or is man right? When man's doing one thing, God's Word says something else. Who should we follow? That's a first grader question. You know that's right. Here's what he said. In white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. That speaks of holiness. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. They could not see where they were at. You know what they needed? A mirror. You know what James says about the Word of God? It's a mirror. You look in that mirror and you can see what you really are. Amen. You know why we can't see, why a lot of God's people are blind? They're not looking in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Let the Word of God open your eyes to where you're at. Now, here's all I'm doing. I'm just telling you what the Lord is telling that church. And we are living in the last days. I believe you'd have to say that. If you know anything about the Word of God, you'd have to say we're in the last days. We'd have to say we're in the Laodicean church age. And the fact of the matter is, that's where we're at. And here's what I'm saying. Don't let folks blind you. Look in the mirror and see where you're at. Amen. That's good advice.
It's not my advice, it's the Lord's advice. Amen. Look in the mirror. Well, let's see what else. I need to finish up here. That the shame and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. What does that mean to repent? That means you say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. And I'm going to quit doing it my way and I'm going to do it your way. It's a turning. It's agreeing with God against yourself. And we could just, you can go on with little statements about it. But really it's just saying, I'm going God's way instead of my way. I just wonder, would you be willing to repent? You know what that really demands? It demands you saying, I'm wrong. That's hard on the flesh. It's hard on the ego. Hard on your pride. That's what you have to do. You'll never go on with God unless you have a practice of repenting. Most of us repent daily. We have to. That's right. We have to repent. Here's what he said. Be zealous therefore and repent. Have some zeal about repentance. And then I'll just say this and leave it with you. Open up and let the Lord come in and have intimacy with you. You and him. Just you and him. You can tell him anything. He won't tell nobody. You can share your deepest secrets and your deepest problems and your deepest concerns. And he won't tell a soul. He's trustworthy. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. I don't think we realize what we have in him. Here's just my little lesson to you tonight. See the condition or the characteristics of the church and the Christ of the church and counsel that was given to the Laodicean church. And because we're living and surrounded by Laodicean mentality, if we're not careful, it will influence us. And it will lead us contrary to the Word of God. But when we find ourselves in a Laodicean state, we have some counsel to help us. And let's let God's Word change our lives. How long has it been since you've heard the Word of God and it changed who you was? You said, that's right, I'm wrong, I'm going to do it God's way. How long has it been? Why don't you let him do that if he spoke to you tonight? Let's bow our heads. And Grace, if you'd come, just play a verse of a invitation tonight. I don't